Hey guys, the show today is brought to you by Audible.com. Go and get a free audiobook and 30-day free trial at Audible.com. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/notsofast. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can use your iPhone, Android, your laptop, MP3, any device you have, it's going to work with Audible.com. So remember, audibletrial.com/notsofast.
What is going on with our modern day athlete that some of them just can't get it done?
You couldn't cover a three-legged cow.
You're crazy like a fox, and I got crazy a mission like for you.
Oh, I'll bet you 3-1.
Oh, make it simple. I'm not doing anything stupid.
This is Not So Fast, a Lineup Media Group production.
I would take Bryce Harper, take him to Armenia just to breed.
I gotta tell you, not to be gay, but the guy looked good.
Welcome into the November 3rd edition of Not So Fast. Today on the program, T.O. tries to tell us why Peyton Manning sucks. We have a World Series to recap, a college playoff selection committee first round edition coming up, instant replay madness in college football, but we're going to start with some other college football, something close to home, something close to the heart of our own Jono. Jono, how are you? Jimbo, how are you? T.O. as well. I'm Tony. Boys, the Missouri Tigers in the news again for all the wrong reasons.
Well, he's suspended again. Matty Mock suspended again for the entire season this time. And I'm not just blaming him on this one. I'm saying the coach, Pinkel, has got to watch his players a little bit better than this. You just tapped him on the hand and said, don't do it, and now the kid goes off and does something again at a bar, and you're letting him do this? For love of God. I mean, obviously, he doesn't give a shit about the season. I mean, he's already made this a complete wash.
Pinkel or Matty Mock?
Pinkel.
I agree.
If this was a 5-2 season or a 6-0 or whatever right now, you wouldn't have seen this situation happen at all. That's what I'm saying.
Matty Mock has played his last game as a Mizzou Tiger.
Well, that's pretty safe to say.
Well, he can graduate at the end of this year, so he's free to transfer to any school without sitting out a year.
Yeah, he can make it somewhere in Division I AA if he wants to keep playing, but I'm telling you, this was a real letdown. You got a freshman quarterback right now that hasn't seen the end zone in 3 games. It was great for Matty to come back and finish it off. It wasn't like we were waiting for our general, 4-star general to show up. But again, we might have seen a couple of touchdown passes.
What do you mean 1AA, though? Mock's a proven SEC quarterback.
He's not proven shit, all
right? He's 18-5. Yeah, okay. Or 13-5 as a starter in the SEC.
I'm convinced he's not.
So he couldn't play at a Big 12 school or a Big 10 school?
No, he couldn't play at a Big 12 school. I'm telling you right now, they score 50 to 60 points there.
Kansas. And they're not couldn't play at Kansas.
Anyone. You could play for Kansas.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He could play, at a Division I program.
That's still Division I AA to me, if you ask me.
Let's run back through the incident, though.
Yeah.
Well-known establishment in Columbia, the Fieldhouse, I believe.
Yes.
Gets into an altercation outside of the Fieldhouse.
Non-physical, apparently, all verbal.
All verbal. Verbal altercation.
So my question is, how is any of that Gary Pinkel's fault?
Why wouldn't it be?
He's not his daddy.
Yeah, you know what? When you drop your kid off at that campus from that station wagon and like Clark.
Yeah, like Clark Griswold. There you go, Rusty.
And he greets you at the door, the coach does, and says, I'm going to take care of your kid. That comes much more than just the X's and O's in that room.
He is taking care of his kid. His kid screwed up, and he's being punished for it.
Right. Did he even go to the bar? Why did he even allow him to get to the bar?
For Mock to be suspended for getting into a verbal altercation outside a bar leads me to believe that there was some type of rule put in place. We're going to reinstate you, but no bars, or there was some type of curfew put on Mock.
I don't buy that. Why is he suspended then?
You really believe? Hang on. You really believe and expect me and all of our listeners to believe that they didn't tell this guy not to go there? You think they just said, welcome back. Here, well, go out and act like a fool.
Why is he, why is he kicked off the team?
I'm sure they just said, hey, now you got to act responsible. You can't go out like that and do the same stuff, okay? And he goes, okay, boss.
Yeah, that's what happened. That makes so much sense. That's what happened.
Why is he kicked off the team for getting in the shouting match? I want to know this right now. Why is it so different for Urban Meyer that we talked about last week and the week before we talked about Steve Spurrier? That is all on the coach's fault, but now Pinkel gets a green.
Well, Meyer, I've never said it was his fault.
Urban Meyer just suspended his starting quarterback
for one game.
Took away his summer scholarship.
Another joke. Listen,
exactly.
There's summer scholarships?
The financial aid package for the summer.
Okay.
So, listen, at the end of the day, where I'm going to disagree with you, Ed, on this, and I'm going to say it about every one of them, they are what's wrong. You cannot continually let kids make mistakes and send a message that, you know, because you're a good player – you know, we're going to make it okay. You can't do that. It's a recipe for disaster. Forget your program. It's a recipe for disaster for the kid.
It's a bad message.
Me the same thing that I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now that Pinkel did not give him that speech.
Why would you believe that?
I know that Pinkel couldn't give a rat's ass about the rest of the remaining season here. Okay, good to have you back, Matty. You know, just play clean and stay out of that type of trouble.
They did reinstate him, though.
There's no way.
He was splitting reps in practice that day, so he was clearly going to get PT back.
Well, I don't give a shit about that. Listen, are you missing a goddamn point here? I'm telling you right now. Apparently I am.
Or you're not articulating yourself very well.
I'm articulating very well here. I'm telling you right now, he just said, hey, welcome back to the team, keep your nose clean, and that's it. And that was it.
And then they suspended him for getting in the shouting
match?
He
didn't tell him specifically, don't go to this bar, don't do this. I don't want to see you hang out with this guy or that guy.
Then why is he suspended?
Because he went and did all this again.
He's suspended because he screwed up. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't care if he told him to not do it. If you're not smart enough to stay out of trouble after what you've been in, you get what you deserve. I don't want to hear some sob story about his dad's not do. Tough break. Here's the deal. It's life. So guess what? You got to deal with shit. Now, I feel bad for the guy if he's going through a rough time. I don't want to see that happen. But what are the only bad mistakes in life? And this is a question as a parent or a coach. Doesn't matter. The only bad mistakes are the ones you don't learn from. He obviously did not learn anything from his prior mistakes. Now, whose fault is that? I have no idea. Listen, how he was raised, just like you have no idea what he was told. I don't know if mommy and daddy told him his whole life he was special and that he doesn't get in trouble. And every time he got a bad grade in class, dad showed up and said, what are you not teaching my son? Instead of saying, hey, are you doing your work? That's the society we live in, and it's screwed up.
Okay, then let's take this one step further here, and let's make this. I didn't like this from the get-go with Mizzou keeping this like a Russian premier dying, and they're saying that he's still sick somewhere. They did this completely wrong. I wish they would have just come out and said what the damn kid did. Everything was a goddamn cover up from day one about this.
But Pinkel's never done that.
What do you mean he's never?
He's always kept it quiet.
He has never said, listen, the only
unless
the
it's
only,
become a matter on. Of public record.
Well, yeah, because like with the DGB stuff, I know that's probably where you're going. There was an actual police report.
Before that, even, I don't give a shit about that. I'm talking about when a player beat up a gal or something like that. Everything was. I don't know what the hell went down there, but that girl even committed suicide, I think it was.
I don't even know what you're...
You guys know that
the
case?
The swimmer?
The swimmer that was allegedly raped by Mizzou football players.
Yeah.
And she went to the Mizzou team, and she brought all this shit up, and Mizzou kept this on a low profile. It's been like that the entire time Pinkel's been there.
Well, even going back to... It's Mizzou's athletic program, going back to the days of Quinn Snyder and the basketball program.
It goes back to Ricky Clemons.
Ricky Clemons and the... I mean... The AD, the AD's
name?
That
was Mike Alden at the time.
Alden's gone, but it was crazy.
There's the pattern, though. Mizzou was standing.
Right.
Okay.
You see the pattern, Jim.
It's across football. It's across sports in general.
It's everything.
It's a entitlement type thing now because why? The pressure's on to win. There's money involved. I get all that, and that's fine. But at what juncture did we start saying that it was okay? You brought up the analogy this morning before we were talking. What'd you say that – the coach said about the if you're the 50-something guy on the
Jimmy Johnson brought up one time, you know, they said your 58-man roster, if your 58th guy falls asleep during a session of watching the X's and O's, what do you do with him? He goes, I fire him. He's off the team. They said, what happens if Troy Aikman or Emmitt Smith falls asleep? He goes, I bring them a cup of coffee.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you really think that's right?
Of course I do.
At the professional level?
I don't give a shit.
At the professional level, I don't have a problem with that
one bit. Talking to me? You're talking about millions of dollars here. You're going to tell Troy Aikman to walk?
And you just
brought up. I'm going to punish him like I punish everybody. Let me ask you a question.
You wouldn't have a job.
You won't have many players playing for
you. You wouldn't have a job.
That's the problem, Jim.
And you ask when this started and how this started.
You think Bill Belichick wouldn't do that?
Bill Belichick would do the same thing.
Yeah, he would.
Number one.
He'd cut Tom Brady.
Yeah,
nobody said cut.
Yeah. That's what we just said.
That's what was just said.
That's what you're going to cut Tom Brady.
I'm not going to cut him, but I'm going to punish him, just like I'd punish anybody.
He'd be out of a job.
Once the players are making more than the coaches, it's very hard to do anything. At the college
level.
Well,
then why have any rules?
I think it's
him. Why have any rules?
Well, generally, there's not. The Dallas Cowboys had their own whorehouse right off the practice field. Yes, you do. It's called the White House.
Take it.
Everyone knows about it. It's been written about. Because they were the Cowboys and because they were the Rainmakers, they were allowed to do it. In college, this is a little different.
Take it a step back from college, though. Take it to high school. Take it to youth sports. You have people coaching youth sports right now making six figures a year.
Do any of your kids go to whorehouses?
No.
No?
Not that I'm aware of.
When you have kids make, you know, when you have guys coaching
coaches of kids.
10-year-olds making six figures a year, they're going to...
Wait a minute. What coach makes...
He's talking about the large
sports.
Programs like the whether it's
baseball or soccer.
It doesn't
matter. Guys,
basketball.
There are guys in AAU drawing in excess of six figures.
And they have shoe deals. And they have all this. So do you think they're going to punish these kids?
Again,
no. They're going to have the best kids come in to allow them to get the more money from the shoe companies that creates this whole environment.
Okay, so we're back to what I said from the beginning, and that is this. Your two-year-old son or daughter does not put their finger in a light socket or in a electrical outlet on the wall because they know it's going to hurt them. They don't do it because they know if they get near it, you smack their hand. What happens if you quit smacking their hand?
Oh, they go and do it.
That's right. So here's the thing. I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 20.
That's a wrong
statement. Okay? You are going to do what you think you can get away with.
There's no question about that.
If you tell the kid, don't put your fucking finger in that... A hole. He's not going to do it. After a
2-year old doesn't understand. Okay, but what you've created,
slapping that hand, he's going to understand that you don't put your finger in that hole. You know,
that's
we can go both ways on this.
You convinced him.
You didn't convince me anything.
The coach tells you he has to tell you do not do it, and you're supposed to not do it. I don't think Pinkel's making any communication with his team right now.
Okay, so this guy. Okay, there you heard it. Gary Pinkel does not communicate with his players.
Well, what he basically is saying is that Pinkel is the commander, Colonel Jessup, from A Few Good Men.
That's right. So, Tony, how did you eat? Because it's not in the manual. So how did you know to go to the mess hall and eat?
How the Marine guide showed me to eat.
It wasn't in the Marine guide, so how did you eat?
I followed everyone else.
Okay. So you're saying that at Mizzou nobody eats because I guarantee you.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about eating.
Well, you're saying that they all have to do exactly what Gary tells them to do or not do. So let me get this straight.
If you're on a shit list, you're going to have a little powwow with the coach. He's going to sit you down and tell you, this is what you did, and this is what I don't want you to do in the future. And I don't think Pinkel's giving this communication with his player right now.
If a grown man if he has to be told... Right. Do not go start any trouble after you just got out of trouble. He's trouble.
And well, see, this has been my point, and I think John will agree with me wholeheartedly here. Matty Mauch, over the course of his time at the University of Missouri, has shown an ability to have no learning curve on the playing field, to not fully understand the playbook, to not fully understand the situations on the field, to not fully understand his role on the team, and now to not fully understand his role off the field and in public life away from the team.
Pinkel's been able to keep Aldon Smith out of trouble. He's been able to keep a lot of guys.
There you go. Pinkel has been able to keep a lot of guys in check. I think it is exactly what I said about 10 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago. I told you that there's a lot of stuff that are being put under the carpet here, and that's at Mizzou. A lot of stuff that these players just don't turn into villains when they get into professional level. I think that he's made something to where it's been covered up throughout this university of 3 years, 4 years, whatever these players are playing there.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely correct. And it doesn't just go on at Mizzou.
You are dead on the money,
John. And I'm saying this as why don't you let us know what the hell Aldon Smith is all about?
I will tell you why. And here, this is an opinion.
Because he's going to be suspended for the games.
Hold on. This is an opinion.
So you do care about that, but if you're a 2-7 team right now or a 4-8 team or whatever, you don't care. Or you do care, I mean.
I don't care either way. I'm not a Mizzou fan. My point is that you have these players that have shown a pattern of getting in trouble once they leave the University of Mizzou. There's a lot of players that Sheldon Richardson, Aldon Smith, there's four or five of them that have had multiple offenses once they've left Mizzou.
And I'm telling
you, when they're at Mizzou,
you hear no issues
of them getting in trouble.
Yes, and let me address why you are not hearing any issues. You aren't hearing any issues because they're being recruited under the guise that unless it's public, and public here, folks, means involving police, unless it's public, we, the football coaches, are going to keep this private. You know how much of a huge recruiting tool that is to say, hey, young man, come to this university. Guess what? You can fuck up, and as long as it's not with the police, it's not going to be talked about.
I don't buy that. I'm saying to you right now, if this was an 8-0 team, this would not have been any matter whatsoever.
And there lies the hypocrisy, John.
So what you're saying then,
there is where it lies. You're dead on the money.
Aldon Smith at the time was 8-0. So Aldon Smith, there's no noise. There's no volume
exactly
coming out of that locker room.
Exactly.
But when you're 2-8 or whatever like that, that's when the coach is giving up and he gives Maddie, hey, you're free now. Go do what you want. I don't give a shit about this season.
But
that's what's wrong with this program here.
But now you've changed the tune. Now, I'm okay with that problem with Gary Pinkel because that's the problem. I have an issue with that problem with all of them. You said earlier that it was Gary Pinkel's fault that Matty Mock got in trouble. That's not Gary Pinkel's fault.
I never said that. I said that he had to monitor his player. And, you know, I'm saying to you right now, if he tells the kid don't do it, the kid's not going to do it.
See, that's the Colonel Jessup argument, though. That's from a few good men. Did you order the code red?
So,
no, there's no such thing as a code red. Did you order the code red? No, there's no such thing as a code red. Did you order the code red? You're goddamn right I did. That's exactly the few good men argument. And that's what's going on in all these college football programs around the country right now.
So you really believe if they set Matty Mock down and said, listen, you have a curfew, you're not allowed to go to bars, and he would have listened.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Tio, if they sat him down and said, look, we're going to win the SEC East again, and we need your help. You cannot go there. You cannot hang out with this guy, that guy, or this guy. You have to be straight with you. Matter of fact, we want you to be at your room playing Xbox all night.
Are you saying they set him up?
What the hell are you talking about?
Now, I know where you're going, and I don't think so.
Are you saying they purposely didn't tell him to stay out of a bar so he'd go do it
because there's no reason to run him off.
He's a fucking 20-year-old kid.
There's no reason to run him off in this situation. I never said that, man.
I just said that they just don't give a shit now. They're down on the they're getting beat by Vanderbilt for crying out loud. They don't care anymore.
Haven't scored a touchdown
in 12
quarters.
Then why bring him back
at all? And so maybe they can score a touchdown.
Win two games so they can practice another touchdown.
Okay. Let me get this straight. Three games without a touchdown is a little embarrassing. Okay, so let me get this straight. You do the quote-unquote right thing and suspend the kid because he's trouble. Okay? You bring him back because, and really, you're bringing him back with the whole fan base going, boy, you got to bring him back. Now you look like the idiot. And now you're going to suspend him over an argument outside a bar.
That's what you believe really happened.
I don't understand the argument outside a bar.
After not saying anything. I don't know what's going on with that.
No, I agree with that. Listen, that's the first thing you said that I 100% agree with. We absolutely have no idea what he's done.
Yeah, we
for sure. No, we don't know. That's number one.
I'm sick and tired number two, of Mizzou covering stuff.
Number two, you have no idea what he's been told or not told by the coaching staff. But for you to believe, it surprises me that you would believe that they haven't gone through excruciating circumstances to tell these kids, this is what you cannot do.
I don't think they warned down that avenue at all.
That's just unbelievable.
There's a little irony in this. I just don't see it. There's a little irony in all this that you talk about how Mizzou keeps everything hush-hush and we need to know, we need to know. You know, SEC Films, they just did a story on the 2012 team, I believe.
Okay.
And the whole gist of the film was how it was well known and well documented that Michael Sam was gay. The whole team knew. A lot of the reporters and beat writers that covered the team knew that Michael Sam was gay.
Why didn't they bring
it up? A lot of students knew he was gay. Because apparently it's some type of culture at Mizzou to where they keep their shit in-house.
Let me tell you, Tim.
I mean, it's amazing.
But if reporters knew, then they're not reporters. Because by definition, they're not reporters.
They would have brought that up.
I don't care.
No, I'm just saying, I recommend you to watch it. Because a couple of the guys that travel with the team.
I don't buy it.
If the number one journalism school in America can't report that, then I got to question if they're the number one journalism school in America.
They didn't want to. That's the best news ever.
They didn't want to because the team.
I get out of here.
That was the year they made the run to the SEC championship.
It doesn't matter.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
You're a reporter and you bleed black
NFL
and gold.
Scouts didn't even know.
Well, there's
about
your
this.
There's your first problem. A reporter should not bleed any color.
But they do. That when these guys,
not the good ones.
Well,
not the
good ones. How many good ones are there? Look at the city
there's
we live in.
There's plenty of good ones.
Let's move on.
One other thing in college that happened over the weekend.
Let's move on.
Did you all catch the end of Duke versus Miami?
It's awesome.
You know what? I seen that, and my thought on that is it went down. It happened. Now that I'm hearing, and they even stopped and went to the review.
Yes,
in the booth, and they did not look at if his knee touched on the review. They were looking at the penalty. And you can't even review a penalty. You can't review a penalty. There's no one. Ever
can't.
That you can't review a penalty. Yeah,
holding and illegal blocks from behind.
And the touchdown. You have to review all touchdowns.
All scoring plays are reviewed.
But they were reviewing the penalty. They were not even reviewing the knee touching the ground.
Well, they fixed that. They covered their butts on that. They come back and said that they didn't review that. Another official come and said that's not a penalty, and they picked up the flag. So they've tried to fix that problem. On the surface, I'm not saying they didn't do it. I think you're right there, John. But they here's my. I'm going to take a complete left turn with this. Here's my problem.
Go.
Okay. Once again, as I've said numerous times, this is why replay is bad for sports. I understand people. You want to get. You just had. And again, it's a completely different argument whether or not it was a legal play or not. Completely different argument. No different than the Tuck rule. The Music City Miracle, the play, the Pittsburgh Steeler play with Frank Lehrer, completely different argument. On this one, though, this amazing thing happens. Amazing thing. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, it's incredible.
I don't care. Penalty was standing, knee down was standing. Amazing that it happened. It happened right in front of your eyes, right?
Yep.
And what happens when it's over?
The emotion of it is taken
done.
Away.
Done.
No,
everybody
we have to
is
wait
sitting
to,
there
we have to wait
waiting
to see if
for
it's
a replay.
Real.
I can't stand that about replay. Baseball, doesn't matter what it is. How many times you go to a baseball game now and you see a great – listen, I loved this about baseball. If a defender makes a great play and if he makes a great play and it's a bang-bang at first, you're out. That was it. I loved that about baseball.
But, let's get back to this. Talk to me about this because right now I'm saying to you that you have something that went down, and the ACC fires or they didn't fire
they indefinitely suspend,
which good for them by the way.
Oh, really good for them. But then the ACC also makes this the special play of the week. They made this one the special play of the week. Are you kidding me? You just made this the worst happening ever in the football findings. Duke wasn't having a bad season either. Duke
no, they're, yeah, this they're is, fine. This is terrible
yeah, they're,
for them.
They're ranked 23rd coming in with a chance to play in a championship game.
So you really screwed Duke, and then you suspended the ACC refs, and then on top of that, You say this is the ACC play of the week.
Well, what does this tell
what
you?
What the hell
what
is going on
What have I said all
here?
Along? We love train wrecks.
Oh, it's a train wreck.
This is a train wreck. It's a shit show. As a society love, and so guess what we're going to do with it? We're going to promote it now. Now we're going to promote the train wreck.
Does anyone know the spread on that game?
Don't
the
care.
Over under the point spread.
No, there was something involved in this.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It was teasers. It was teasers that it screwed. That's what I saw a bunch of stuff where guys were saying I had it in a teaser. So it must have affected.
Let's ask Mr. Vegas.
Yeah,
I was asking. I'm not sure what the line was. That's why I'm asking.
My question is sort of like John. My question is sort of like Jim's. You know, replay's here to get it right, and if it can't get it right. Why do we have it?
Most of the time, everything works out. I don't understand.
But most of the time, it's a play that's in the in the first, second, third. This was a game-deciding play. Not that a game is decided by one play, but this was the game-deciding play. If you can't get it right then what's the point?
So here's what I'm going to give you a thing for like, and I don't and I would defer to Jono because I would say he's our football expert, no doubt about it. But like with baseball, what I don't like about baseball's replay, they stand there at the top of the dugout and they look back and some guy's on the phone with some guy upstairs. No. If you want a replay, you get your butt out on the field and you want to argue with a guy, you tell him to replay it. I don't want to. Big deal.
I disagree, and not with you, Jim, but with the notion of the. The preemptive replay.
Yes, that's exactly
like
what's
going
on.
Like we're
going
to pre-vision the Absolutely. Replay well, and then see if we're going to ask for a replay.
Okay, so I think, in my opinion, that would help baseball because it would prevent that. Now, in football, I don't know how you do it.
I think they have their own people that look at it just as much as they do, and then they say, hey, Garrett, throw the flag. Throw the red flag.
Yeah, but
out there.
But look how that takes emotion out of the game.
I don't like it in baseball. I really don't, because now you never see managers come out. You don't
Only
see
balls
the Earl
Weavers
and
nope.
Shit like that's gone. In the days. I mean, you don't see the Billy Martins anymore. You know what? This could go on and on about this, but I'm just saying it was a horrible call. But you know what? They won, though. They won, and it's a final, and you can't pull that and say, oh, you know what? I'm hearing right now, I heard today as I was coming to work, they're actually thinking about taking that win away from
Miami. Yeah, I saw that too.
Now, and that is garbage. That is garbage. You gave the win. It stays right there. It's over.
Even if it's correct,
whatever, that you took the win away from the Cowboys with Dez Bryant, I don't want to hear anything
more
about it.
Oh,
boy.
It all comes back to Dez.
All right, hey.
But nobody's ever come back and said that he caught the ball. The NFL says it was the right call.
They had a real powwow last year about this, and they said that we're going to have to look at this again. No. We're going to have to look at this. And you know what we need to look at? Let me throw this at you.
Yes, sir.
They're coming out, what, this Thursday on this top four, top five?
Tonight. As we sit here recording this show tonight, November the 3rd, Tuesday, college football poll. Not poll. It's not a poll. It's a ranking. And it's the selection committee's what if the season ended right now, who's going to the playoff?
This is the selection committee.
This is the committee. This is not the AP. This is not ESPN.
This is my top four, okay?
Who do you got? Oh, this
I got
is gonna
Ohio
be good.
State.
Uh-huh.
I still think they're still the number one team. I got Clemson. I don't know if they could get by Florida State. They never get by Florida
13
State.
13 points is the spread in that game.
I don't buy it. I would definitely take FSU. They're not intimidated at all. But Clemson stays my number two. Michigan State is my number three team. They haven't done anything wrong. And Baylor, number four. And so, you know what? My number five would probably be Alabama.
No SEC teams in the top four.
Nah, you know, if it was going to be Alabama or LSU.
Can I ask
Alabama.
A question? How do you have Michigan State ranked ahead of LSU?
Well, to me, they have played convincingly to me to show that they belong there.
Michigan State's one big win is against Oregon, at Oregon. And they beat Michigan when they pulled something out of their ass.
Yeah, but they pull something out of their ass.
That's what I'm saying. But LSU has quality victories. They've beaten Ole Miss. They've played that SEC schedule. So, but I'm not calling you out. But there's a lot of people.
Let's not jump on the SEC bandwagon this year. I think it is definitely down from the years past.
See, I've got the same as you. Only I have LSU instead of Michigan State.
So you have Ohio State.
Yep.
Clemson. Yep. LSU and Baylor.
Yeah, but Baylor obviously is. you know, the in my opinion, is the most – obviously LSU could lose – you know, they tough games.
They play Alabama this week.
They have a very tough
they
November.
That's right. And even without being hurt, they obviously have a big hurdle in front of them. Baylor's hurdle is obviously who's going to play quarterback.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, who the hell plays defense in Big 12?
Apparently nobody plays Big 12 defense.
There's got to be one team, and I think Oklahoma is the only one that looks like they got any remote defense at all.
Just a mere hint
this is
of
horrible.
Defense.
And they gave up 58 points to Texas.
It's flag football.
This is horrible.
Here, if you know the hashtag free money, you want to pay your rent?
Right.
Go to every Big 12 game on the board and bet the over. Don't even look at the number.
Yeah, but
don't even look at the number.
Vegas
just say I want the over.
Vegas makes these like 77 on the
first time this year ever. They had a game over under 90.
Yeah,
in the Big 12.
And the Big 12 is routinely posting 90. Over 100.
That's insane.
All right, I can't wait. T.O.
Ohio State, Baylor, LSU, and Clemson.
Oh, my God. I agree with T.O.
I think the LSU-Alabama winner has the track for the SEC spot. I think Clemson, Florida State, Clemson wins that. They're pretty much
Do they have to win convincingly, though?
No. Clemson will get in. Power 5, ACC. They beat Notre Dame, who is looking to be a quality team.
Right.
I think that's enough for Clemson. Baylor, you know, they still have TCU. Like Jimbo said, the quarterback is an issue.
And they may lose that game.
And Ohio State, you know, they still have Michigan, and they still have Michigan State. Ohio State has not played well. You know, they have not.
No, who do they haven't been
right, but who do they have left?
Michigan State.
And then whoever the blood donor from the other side of the Big
which
Ten.
Which is
that's
Iowa.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Iowa hasn't been bad this year.
Iowa's like number 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so they're very again, tough defense.
Iowa's playing in the
what
Big Ten.
What do you got? What do you
all
got,
right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, let's
I'm going backwards. Number 4, LSU.
That was my 4.
Number 3, Clemson.
That was my 3.
Number 2, Ohio State.
Oh, my God.
Who does that make my number one, Jono?
Baylor?
You're jumping on Clemson?
No.
No,
Clemson I got Clemson at 3.
Oh, you got Clemson at 3.
I got Ohio State at number 2.
You got 2 Big Ten teams?
Nope.
Well, who you got?
I got Alabama as number 1.
Oh.
I don't know how.
You would.
I don't know how.
I'm going by the letter of the law.
Right,
that's
not really fair for LSU.
Of this committee. The it's as it is today. Now, my little LSU-Alabama thing, that'll sort itself out. So once those two play each other, I'll be talking
this Thursday,
a radical.
This Thursday, you're looking at next week. What, you're looking at Alabama.
What's the
but here's
goes.
The thing. But though. I'm saying if we stop today,
tonight.
If we stop today, who's the one team you do not want to play? You do not want to play Nick Saban and Alabama.
I understand that, but what you're really saying there by having them both in the top 4 is it doesn't matter which one wins; they're still a top 4 team.
It matters who plays in the semis.
You understand my point?
1-4-2-3.
They're a top 4 team, but it just if you're number 4 and lose to number 1, why would you drop in the rankings?
It said originally
you weren't as good as them.
You're probably
the only one that changes is if you're the number 1 and you lose to number 4.
Well,
but then would you really drop past number 4?
I have a wild card scenario here, and I want to ask you guys about it real quick. Memphis is ranked number 16 right now.
I don't give a shit about
you. Are all over Memphis.
No, but this is really interesting. Memphis beats Ole Miss. Who beat Alabama?
Oh, God.
There we go.
Does Memphis
happen.
You don't think they have any chance?
Not a chance.
You do understand this is the Prairie View A&M wins the national title because
they
beat so-and-so who beat so-and-so who beat so-and-so.
So in your theory in life, so the Rams beat the crap out of the Seahawks, the Seahawks beat the Cowboys, the Rams would beat the crap out of the Cowboys. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all.
Okay.
Temple has only lost one game. They're ranked in the top 20.
Wow.
They still have them on their schedule. Houston, ranked in the top 20. They still have them. They could post big wins that could catapult their you know, what is it? Not RPI, but could catapult their strength of schedule.
Could.
Okay. And then what if at the end of the year they're there with these quality wins, they're undefeated, Alabama is a one-loss team, and they have a win over the team that beat Alabama.
Then we have chaos, and it's beautiful.
This is why you need a real playoff.
It could happen.
This is why I find them irrelevant.
Hey,
move on.
Of, speaking of that, man. We forgot they even covered a World Series.
Well, no, we're going there right now, baby. We're going there right now. Hey, I want to remind everybody, the website for us, for Jono, for Jim, for T.O., for me, Tony, NotSoFastPodcast.com. NotSoFastPodcast.com. You can follow us at Twitter at NotSoFastShow. And, of course, check out our Facebook page. Just search for Not So Fast. Just go there as well. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Check us out. And on iTunes, very simple as well, Jim.
Yep, just iTunes.
Type it in.
Yep, and then when you get to iTunes and you find Not So Fast, there's a little subscribe button on the left. All you got to do is click on that, and when we release our shows, you'll be the first to get them. We do a lot of social media stuff and pass along our shows. We'll do some old shows, too, so you can get caught up, but for the most part, that's how we'll communicate with our listeners, and we do appreciate it.
Hey, what I was going to say was Kansas City. Did I call Kansas City?
You did call it.
I said they bat the ball around. They were expecting Murphy to carry the Mets like against the Cubs. Forget about it.
I called that one.
Yeah, you called that. And what about my pitcher here on my fantasy team, uh-oh, Wade Davis? 18 strikeouts here. 18 strikeouts. But you know what? This was not a blowout series. 11 innings were controlled by the Mets, too. 11 innings being in front of the Kansas City Royals.
It should be 3-2 right now, Mets.
Well, it could very well be. But, again, my point was the Kansas City Royals know how to bat, and they keep this ball alive every time. I mean, that's what I've been saying all along.
So, what, was it 2 years ago, 1 year ago, the trade, Shields for
Will Myers
and Wade Davis. If I would have told you that Wade Davis was the most important part of that trade, what would you have said?
Well, I wouldn't have bought into it, but I'm saying to you right now that 18 strikeouts, he's got the most strikeouts of any postseason pitcher in World Series.
You could argue that he changed the
relief.
18, no, in general, 18 strikeouts. They said that that's the most that a pitcher.
You're gonna have to talk to Bob Gibson about that.
Yeah,
one.
18 strikeouts.
Because he struck out 17 in one game.
Yeah, I would have.
Okay,
to
then he come back and do it again.
Well, he won. He was 3-0 in the World Series.
So
he had over 30 strikeouts.
I think you're right. I think it was relief.
Maybe relief.
Yeah.
But that stat for relief.
That's unbelievable.
Put that in perspective against what Gibson did as a starter. Jono, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such an outlying performance. It really, I don't know if it'll get the attention.
It's not really outlying, though.
Well, he only played 5 games, and what did he? He didn't pitch in one of them, right?
Yeah, so he only had 4 appearances.
Right, as a reliever.
Yeah. Well, hats off to Kansas City.
But is it really hats off? Because did they win this, or did the New York Mets lose it?
No, let's cut the bullshit.
No, it's a little of both.
Keep blowing the Royals did everything they had to do to win this game, and that's all there is to that.
I'm with him on this. I'm tired of when a team does everything they're supposed to do to win. We want to start making excuses to why they weren't.
There's no excuse. There were errors made.
But when you can't field routine balls in clutch time,
that's all part of World Series history.
Hey.
Whatever.
Yeah, get your ass out there and field that ball in front of how many millions people watching.
That's how it's sorry.
Was it 86?
No.
I don't want to hear that either.
No, I'm saying it's part of the game.
That's part of the game.
Did the Mets win the World Series, or did Buckner cost Boston the World Series? I mean, how is that remembered in history?
That's all part of the goddamn game.
That's my point, though.
You're going to decide. You think a series is decided in 30 seconds?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you can't take away from the defensive errors and the plays that the Mets did not make.
Guess what, then?
That's part of the game.
The Mets weren't good enough.
Well, they certainly were in control of the series for the majority of the time, but when it came down to it.
Clutch hitting.
Hey, bottom line is the Mets are very happy to even had the chance to be in the World Series. No one even expected the Mets, and you know what?
I didn't.
For Mets fans, they ought to hold their head up high because they're pitching. They fought their ass off to get there. They just did not have the fastballs to get by these batters, and they had to resort to number 2, number 3 type of pitches, and these guys weren't acquainted with that, and it showed. The Kansas City Royals took advantage of that.
I want to congratulate Kansas City on their first legitimate World Series championship as well.
Wow. They came from last year. Last year, everyone counted them out this year, saying, it was a fluke.
It was a fluke, right. It's no fluke.
In any case, let
me ask you a question real quick. With baseball ending, and you talk about the pitching that the New York Mets have.
Yeah.
The young pitching.
Yeah.
The young hitting of the Cubs. Is there a huge – I mean, can you look at baseball now as you would have 10 years ago and said, there is going to be a huge rivalry between the Mets and Cubs?
10 years ago is still right now. I hate when I hear 10 years. 10 years ago was 2000.
Okay, 20 years ago.
That was in the 90s.
Or has baseball changed enough to where there's that wild card factor to where you don't know these teams are going to meet up in the playoffs now?
Well, it just enables more teams to be able to get hot at the right time.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, Listen, we always feel like we're in the here and now, and obviously it's easier to do it that way. There's been the New York Mets are not the first team that you look at the end of the season and go, man, then with that pitching, they're going to dominate next year. I mean, that's happened forever. The Cubs had this, and the Braves did, and it worked out well for them. So my point is, it's nothing new. That's what's beautiful about it. There are no guarantees.
There's no guarantees.
Everybody wanted to give the Washington Nationals the World Series this year. They didn't make the playoffs.
But Oakland had had the young pitching, and they went on their run.
What run did the Braves have?
I don't know. They made the playoffs 4 or 5 straight years when they had Hudson Mulder.
We're talking winning the big World Series.
You got to win the thing.
In any case, speaking of winning, I got to bring this up, too.
Who's leading the show today real quick, though? Are you taking the show, or is Tony taking the show? Shut the fuck up
for a minute here, and I want to give props to American Pharoah before we run out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
American Pharoah convincing in the Breeders' Classic. I watched this, and I thought, my God, man, what an animal we are seeing here. And that, you know what? We're talking World Series. This was World Series watching American Pharoah.
All five people that care are really
horses. No, I care.
Because you, why didn't you get it? Why didn't you get it?
That's just horror. Who cares?
Yeah. I'd rather watch
the Clydesdales.
Do you have a number on the career winnings? I want to say he's already in excess of $8 million.
No, I'm not. $8 million. He's got to be more than $8 million.
More than that,
because that race alone was $4.5 million.
You and I had discussed where his place in history goes if he wins the Classic.
Oh, he's right there with Secretariat now. He is
in your mind because you are a horse racing. I hesitate to even say aficionado because that makes you sound like just a fan.
Well, he raced a horse.
So
one
he's
time.
Right behind Secretariat and right in front of Mr. Ed.
No, shout out, boy. We don't want to hear that. He's right there with Secretariat. That's what I wanted to give out.
Oh, a big shout
out for the American Pharoah. I don't want to hear about your relief pitching in the World Series.
Can I ask one question about, because I don't know a lot about horse racing.
All right, go ahead.
I've seen you bet
on horses, too.
I don't know, obviously. You've been with me.
Knucklehead. He held the entire line, and we're waiting there. He held the line for a $2 win. $2 place, $2 show. He couldn't even say two across the board that day I was with him a couple years ago.
Yeah, the poor guy at the tote is just going, just spit it out, man.
Yeah. And he's like,
if you would have got off your damn chair and helped me, we would have been able to do it quicker.
Well, it was an easy play. I said play two across the board.
Hand the guy $6.
Anyway.
So wait a minute. So hang on. So you told him what to do, but yet a grown man couldn't do it?
Yeah, I told him what to do.
Suspend his ass.
You should have suspended him then.
Well, go ahead. What are you saying?
So I don't believe you told him what to do. I don't believe it.
A lot of the horses in the Breeders' Cup are older than American Pharoah, correct?
It's open. It's an open field to whoever wants to get in. And in the Kentucky Derby and so forth, it was all three-year-olds.
Is there any chance that American Pharoah runs this race next year?
Never.
No? Okay. That was my question.
How many years is this that one's dog gonna, years?
I don't give a rat's ass. I'm telling you, he's going to be out in the field. All he's going to do is bring him one at a time.
Why?
I'm going to climb.
Can I ask you a real novice question? Because I don't think I know the answer, and I'm sure our audience doesn't know the answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
How come you can't race and be a stud?
I don't think it's possible. Because,
have you ever tried to do
really
it?
Focus.
Not at the same time.
Have you ever tried to? That's why they say you can't do that when you're at the Olympics and stuff. You got to save your strength.
Yeah, like the movie Raging Bull.
Yeah.
Although, did you hear?
Wait a second. Jake LaMotta went abstinent.
You can't screw while you're doing that.
Ron, okay, so let's say we shut him down a month before a race. That's not even any good.
He's got to be in that training.
You got to be training.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey actually came out and said that she prefers to be sexually active leading up to fights because it makes her more feisty.
Oh my God.
She came out two weeks ago in an interview and said, "Touch my leg." I swear. She said, even when she didn't have a boyfriend, she took care of business herself.
Hey, shut up. Is this a sports show or Penthouse Forum?
I swear.
Oh my God, Ronda Rousey.
How about that? Yeah. There might be a job opening there
right
for
now,
you.
I'm thinking about that. Yeah. All right. Okay.
All right. Hey, I want T.O. to defend something.
How about the Bears?
He thinks Peyton Manning is a useless.
No. He's an idiot.
No, you do. Complete idiot. You don't think he's any good. You think he's washed up. John, can I have the record of the Denver Broncos, please?
I'm telling you. I told you. They're undefeated. They stay undefeated.
That's right. Who's the youngest guy on the show?
Teo. Mr. Teo.
Okay. You know what he is? He's part of the fantasy generation.
Please say he's the problem with America.
You're out of your mind.
He's one of them. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. There's only one stat that matters, and you can ask Trent Dilfer.
The W's, baby. That's the only thing that matters.
You want to tell me if a guy's any good or not based on his stats. I want to tell you if he's any good or not.
So you're paying Peyton Manning $18 million a year to manage the game.
I'm not paying him anything.
To win. To win, and that's what,
and to manage his team, which he did the other night.
And
by the
Denver
way.
Doesn't care about his stats. They look at the
they
eight
care
and
about his stats.
No,
trust me,
they want that.
No, you're both wrong. Denver is very worried about the way he's playing.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, they are very worried about the way he's playing.
You're insane. Okay, who would you take, Aaron Rodgers or him? Then
what do you think about Brandon Whedon?
I think he sucks. What's that got to do
with... He has a higher quarterback rating than Peyton Manning this year.
Oh, get out of here. Well, yeah, throw those five stupid yard passes. You got it.
Sam Bradford.
I'll even take Sam Bradford or Whedon or whatever the hell.
Well, that's good because Sam Bradford has a higher quarterback rating than Peyton Manning, has thrown less interceptions and two more touchdowns.
8-0.
That's fine. I understand that.
That's
You're
all
telling
that
me Denver's not worried about the way this guy
we
is playing?
Just
they
had
are.
This conversation about baseball.
What the hell is the matter with you?
What happens when crunch time happens? Can you make the play?
Peyton Manning hasn't made the plays in crunch time the last three or four
years.
He's
managed his team.
You know who hasn't made the play? Was guy Aaron Rodgers. Would you have taken Aaron Rodgers over Peyton Manning this year?
Sure. Yes, I would.
Okay. He went for 78 yards.
He's playing on the road.
On the road. Okay. This guy is 3-9 under the lights at prime time. This guy is 2-4. Yeah. This guy is 2-4 in playoff. So you're telling me this is the guy.
Tom Brady's going to walk into Denver and only throw for 79 yards? Are you out of your mind?
I'm saying that's a tough game to play.
It's a tough thing. It's not 79 yards passing tough.
Yeah. I could throw 7.
He has the second worst quarterback rating in the NFL.
There we go. 15-yard hook.
You're
what's
that guy.
But what's he
you're
asked
that
to
guy.
Do?
You're that
what's
guy.
What's Peyton Manning asked to do?
He's asked to move the team downfield into scoring position.
No, whoa. Let's not act like Peyton Manning's Trent Dilfer.
Or he is Trent Dilfer at this stage of his career.
Now he is.
He is.
Yes, he is.
He is. You cannot expect this.
Unbelievable.
You cannot expect this man at this age selling all that Papa John's pizza to be out there acting like 29 and 30-year-old Peyton Manning.
You're telling me coming into this season, the Broncos thought, all right, we're going to have a quarterback that's going to be below average in every statistic.
I don't buy his figure either. I just know that the guy is 8-0. And someone is leading that team offensively.
It's the defense. If the defense was not playing out of their ass, they would be 500.
You're wrong because the Cowboys have got a defense. And what's
they
happening
still
with
they
the Cowboys?
They don't have a running game. They don't have
They do have a running game. McPherson, he had 150.
McPherson, it's McFadden.
McFadden, I mean.
Okay.
He had 150.
You're a Cowboy
yard.
Fan,
yeah.
McPherson.
I my mind went blank there.
They've benched their starter. They benched their starter, Randall. They've moved to McFadden.
McFadden, yes.
So they have not had a solidified running game all year. It's McFadden. You got it. McFadden.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Get off the Cowboys. Let's go back to Denver.
I'm
going to
make a bet. I'll tell you right now in Denver, they won't win a Super Bowl. It's not going
to
happen.
What a way to put yourself on the spot there. New England's the team to beat in New England.
I'm willing to bet they don't make it to the AFC Championship game.
Denver
has issues.
I think they will.
If anything goes on that defense, they are in
trouble. Here we go. Hang on, we got a bet. Hang on.
Bet you right now we could do something.
We already have the Pagano bet. 3 lunches to 1. We made that bet on him getting fired this year. Which
who's that?
Chuck Pagano.
Said
the Indianapolis coach.
Oh, football. Yeah, he's gone.
Well,
he's gone.
If they keep playing the way they did.
He can only hold up that cancer card so long.
Oh, wow.
I mean, before they say we can't use
it. What were you saying this morning about Andrew Luck?
I say he's horrible.
All of his stats are better than Peyton Manning this year.
I would never take Andrew Luck this year over Peyton Manning.
All of his stats are better.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just telling you.
There's only one stat that matters.
I'm done.
What I saw.
Who's got the most W's?
Okay, so what do you want to bet? So we're going to bet Denver?
We'll make it for Thursday. We'll go off air.
And keep in mind,
we're going to come up with something.
Denver will have
a
first-round bye. I bet Denver loses their first playoff game.
All right, whatever. Oh, that's even better. Yeah, okay, we'll bet that too.
Let me tell you, Tio, what I saw of Peyton Manning on Sunday night.
I can't believe
it. Is a guy. Don't worry. The biggest Alabama fan in the world called one of their running backs Kanye West. It happens, Jono.
Okay.
It's okay.
Man,
it's okay.
I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan.
I couldn't pass up that chance. I mean, I knew who you were talking about. I couldn't help it.
I was in the heat of the moment.
You had to take it.
Okay, so we don't do hats off anymore.
No, it's a better segment for sure.
What do we got here, Jim?
Boner of the week, or what
we wrap things up?
Village idiot.
Village idiot of the week. The village idiot of the week.
I'm
going to start with you, sir. John,
I'm going to start with Rob Ryan of New Orleans Saints. His defense. And I'm also going to credit that to the New York Giants defense as well. You know what? In college, you can get away putting 52 to 49. In the NFL, you do not do shit like that. We're not intrigued by a 52 to 49. There were receivers wide open. It looked like a backyard football game, and it looked disgusting. It
wasn't
stupid.
Even as good as Sam.
And you know what? I really think these two ought to sit down. What's his name? The head coach, that old guy on Mutual Omaha on New York Giants. What's his name again? Oh, hell. Well, I don't give a shit. But he should sit down and say, shit's not working here.
It's not happening, boys.
It's not happening.
We can't
here.
Be involved in a game where there's 14
Both
touchdowns.
Of those morons get my village idiot and their organizations for allowing that many points. That's what I'm looking at here. What about you, Jim? Let's go.
I can't even think of the guy's last name, but the coach for the Niners.
McPherson?
He has decided. I've lost. I can't pronounce it. It's what is it? Tomaluso, whatever his name is.
I can't pronounce it either.
I'm going to butcher his name. They have decided to bench Colin Kaep, and they're going to go with Gabbert.
And who gets the Village Idiot Award there?
Whoever made that decision.
Whew. Kaepernick's been horrible. What the hell are you talking about?
It's not Kaepernick's
fault. Oh, no, wait. T.O. will tell you his stats are better than Peyton Manning's. Go ahead, tell him.
I think he's one of, like, two quarterbacks since quarterback
I guess where I'm going with this is. Hey, listen,
is your village idiot?
Yeah, because that's not the issue in San Francisco.
Oh my God.
Come on.
What is the issue?
That's
Jim?
Not
well,
the
they
issue.
Had, they, had, they had players in their prime on defense retiring. I mean,
yeah.
like, that's,
I mean,
they
that's
had a lot, man.
That's an issue.
Alden Smith.
The front office is the issue. Thank
okay,
you.
But still, Kaepernick was horrible. God forsaken.
All right, so now what you've done is now you're done with him. So now what are you going to do by doing this?
Hello?
I mean, you're going to put in club scrub.
Kaepernick will not
over
be
your
there
franchise
next year.
Okay.
Kaepernick's will.
No, you're right. He will not.
That's
now.
My bet, too. Anyone wants to take me up on that? Kaepernick will not be a 49er next
no,
year.
No, I agree with you. I mean, if
he will go to the Jets.
Did he get a big extension? Did they resign him or not?
There's no such thing as extension in football.
He has it. He has
there is when you get a big
Hold
when you get a big
Hold
signing
on.
Bonus.
Be gone.
He has a contract that has all sorts of outs and provisions in it. It's a value contract, but
is he on a second contract though or not?
It will not cost the Niners a lot of cap dollars. Is the end equation? So
well, and again, my point is so that's my point. You've decided to go a different direction down the road, not just this week. And that's kind of what I was saying. Is I'm sorry, but I don't think. That's the main issue.
You're forgetting the main point too. They also traded Vernon Davis to the Broncos for a sixth round, seventh.
Well, there's another thing too, though, and that's the thing. And I understand it's no different than the baseball trade deadline. You always get guys that you look at their stats and go, why are we trading for him? And everybody thinks when you bring him into a new situation, it's going to be better. Ooh, can you picture Vernon Davis with Peyton Manning?
Screw Vernon Davis. Okay. How about Donaldson leaving Oakland A's to go to Toronto? That was the most idiotic thing. That guy
Billy Bean.
Yeah.
So then we're back to this point.
They didn't put that in the movie.
Vernon Davis. Hang on. Right. So here's the thing. If anybody's watched him play at all, Vernon Davis hasn't been very good.
No.
So, you know, he gets off the hook.
Who gives a shit? Oh, so you're saying Kaepernick deal right now is your village idiot?
Yep, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
Far, blow it out your ass on that. What's yours?
Yeah, how about you, Tom?
I can't wait. What,
this is always
Kentucky mascot playing Kentucky State this Friday. How
Again,
dare you?
I did not mention. They have the toughest schedule in America this year, so shut
how
the fuck
dare,
up there.
How dare you play Kentucky State?
Shut the thoroughbreds.
Stop. Who is Kentucky
the
State?
Thoroughbreds.
I preseason, stop it.
No, hold on. Kentucky, let me back you up here. Kentucky, as traditional, I think all – I'm not sure if it's an all-black American university or not.
Right.
But I think that Kentucky State used to play in the Dome in St. Louis a lot.
Really?
Wow, and they're the thoroughbreds.
They have that drumline thing going.
They do. They do have an awesome drumline.
All right,
Who's your village idiot?
I have two. I'm going to go with the ACC roughing crew that just had that horrible, horrible
Makes
call.
Makes sense on that. Better than his.
And I'll just leave it with that. Just the one.
All right, ACC. All right.
Good.
Oh, that was mine, is fellas. It's the ACC.
It was not a catastrophe.
Not even the crew. It's the guy upstairs. And then they also indefinitely suspended whoever the communicator is.
Well, he should be suspended too. Why not?
I don't even. But what is the communicator?
Well, he's obviously
there's just a guy who has to say to the guy on the field what the booth's telling him.
How about if you're the guy that says you can't do that?
Speaking of communicator, we ought to have someone on our show one time. They always put the notepad in front of their face. Who is
God.
Upstairs reading?
Doesn't
this?
That did tell you see how shady everything is?
But
doesn't
did you
that
see
you?
What are you talking about?
Just
now?
Like with the Belichick
you
stuff
on the Nick Drake.
Yeah,
thing.
There you
hold
go,
on,
Nick.
We're checking locker rooms for bugs.
Hold on, the Oregon USC game. I think last Friday night, Oregon now deploys 8 foot tall with poles on either side, shields that they have assistants hold. And they use four of them.
They can't do that.
To make lanes of vision for the quarterback to see. You have got to go and look at this.
That is horrible for the fans to see the game.
It is the most ridiculous thing.
How can the fans see the game?
Well, if you're sitting in a lower row, you're probably getting your view obstructed a bit.
And the Oregon fans don't mind that right now.
No, they don't mind at all. But they have four of these big white things, and it looked to me, I was like, wait a second, is this the beginning of a rock concert? Because all you see is silhouettes behind it with guys flashing signs.
So what does that tell you, though? Look at all the stuff going on. There is real fact to this stuff. People don't make this shit up.
Are you kidding me? In the 70s, when we were watching Brady Bunch, Marsha goes out with the quarterback from the other team, and what's he do? He steals Greg's playbook. And this has been going on since the 70s.
It's documented on the Brady Bunch.
I understand.
You can't argue with that.
So
logic.
Let me
don't
ask you
be
bringing
question.
Shit like
so
that.
So if somebody
now
would date Marsha to get the playbook.
Yeah.
Which they would have. I mean,
well,
what
this
a great
is what
gig.
Belichick does.
Well, what a great
been,
gig.
He has been known to bring in players just because he wants.
And then
access
he cuts them a
the
week later. That's
him.
Right.
Yep.
That's
they
my point. There's a lot of fact to this shenanigans that go on, and that's probably why Belichick's so good. That he wants to play that game.
Hey, real quickly, would you guys go on Gilligan's Island?
I know where you're going.
Which chick would you guys do?
Oh, there's an easy answer to this one.
Which
and
one?
You
better not say Mrs. Howe.
I do trend older.
Oh, wow. That's really old.
I mean, Lovey was. No, the answer
Marianne
to this.
The answer is you're on a deserted island. Both.
Yeah, the answer is both or Ginger. Because right. Ginger's obviously the one who's going to give it up.
Ginger never tore that white outfit, which is a little creepy right there. Marianne wore those shorts, and she had that shirt. She was a very athletic chick. That's what all I'm saying. Anyway, that's
I've got one more thing real quick for soccer fans. I know Jono follows a little European soccer.
All three.
I know
of
Tony
them.
Does.
Oh yeah.
The defending EPL champs, Chelsea, 11 points through 11 matches.
Man, I got to tell you.
That is
Woo! Well, that is a nice
That is the lowest point total through 11 games
that
for any defending
nice
champ.
Jimbo's been
it.
Losing sleep over that.
I can't even believe that.
Yeah, really, it's not.
Well, the reason it's news though is their manager is like the biggest cult of personality coach maybe in the world.
Never heard of him.
Jose Mourinho?
Never heard of him.
Oh, he's one of the best sound bites ever. Yeah. Ever.
He gets a little wild.
Yeah.
Does he? Never heard of him.
But no, again, who gives a shit? Our audience doesn't even care about
We don't have anybody from Europe listening to us.
Even the WNBA, it's like watching 1950s men playing basketball. That's what WNBA
is. Could you get four of your buddies to beat a WNBA team?
I swear to God, I can put three of you guys with another guy, and we could give whoever. The WNBA, they can put their all-stars against us. I think we still beat them.
Wow.
It's just a joke. It's a mockery of the game, I tell you. Anytime when you – I tell you what, though, I really do love women's hockey. I somehow get into it. They play hard. You don't get to see what – you know, their hair flopping around and stuff. Maybe that's the reason.
One more real quick hypothetical question. Could you take Ronda Rousey in a fight? Jono than Jimbo?
Absolutely not. Maybe me and Jimbo. Put
Jimbo,
together.
Could you
I'm
take her?
Losing to a girl in a fight?
You would lose.
You really think
heartbeat.
You could take her out?
I don't see how.
No. me and him together, maybe we could beat her. Well, according to you, all she needs is something to
push herself. How's her stats? How's her stats?
She's never lost.
How's her stats?
Never lost.
What's her punch rate? What's her pounds per square inch?
I don't know.
When she hits me like Drago, what's her pounds per square inch?
So you really?
What's her? I mean, I just
Rocky IV reference. Yeah, I love it.
I mean,
you're
stat man. You're no longer T.O. You're stat man.
Stats.
We're gonna call you stats.
Stats.
I can't believe you think you could take her in a
stats.
In a fight.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Really? Who gives a shit about?
All right, it's time for us to beat it, though, isn't it, John?
It is time to beat it.
That is all we've got for you on this Tuesday, November 3rd edition. Hey, follow us, the website, notsofastpodcast.com.
We're going to be here on Thursday, too, right?
And we're going to be breaking down a lot of good stuff come Thursday, especially. We're going to see how close any of us got with our college playoff predictions.
And welcome back, Tony. We missed you. Not the same without you.
Of course it's not.
Jono tried stepping up and taking control.
I tried a little coup with them.
Did you?
I did. I did.
We had to come back in from the hills and beat the coup off.
Yeah, you sent us back in the mountains.
So Twitter, follow us on Twitter at Not So Fast Show, and of course look us up on Facebook and iTunes just by searching Not So Fast. For Jono, Jimbo, T.O., I'm Tony. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you again coming up later here on Not So Fast.
Not So Fast, a Lineup Media Group production. Find us online at notsofastpodcast.com. Plus, on iTunes, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Get every LMG podcast now at lineupmediagroup.com.